Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of compelling legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as legal advice. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. Please enjoy the program.
Welcome to the Cross-Border Catch-Up, the podcast for global employers who want to stay in the know about cutting-edge employment issues worldwide. I am Patty Shapiro, and I'm here with my colleague, Lena Fernandez. We're cross-border attorneys here at Ogletree. Lena, I understand that you're seeing some really interesting issues with digital nomad visas. So to kick off, would you please give us an explanation of what a digital nomad visa is?
Yes. So nomad visas are regulations issued by countries generally addressing immigration issues. So basically, nomad visa would allow a foreign employee to enter a country to work exclusively for a foreign employer for a short period of time, generally 6 to 12 months. And the idea here is to increase the opportunity for foreigners to work from a different place without interacting with the local employment market. So a basic condition of a digital nomad visa is that the foreigner works for a foreign employer. They cannot work for a local employer.
Right. And that's what makes this so unique, is that typically immigration laws don't contemplate this idea of a foreign employee working for a foreign employer while in their country. And I've seen these digital nomad visas kind of pop up just about everywhere since the pandemic in an attempt to, you know, capitalize really on this idea of remote work and attracting people from other countries, perhaps with more spending power, to their country to spend their money there. These digital nomad visas, although really well-intentioned, may not actually be solving all of the problems, that legal problems that arise with workers working outside of their home country.
That's right. These digital nomad visas usually focus on the immigration piece, but they left out how employment laws are going to apply, if they're going to apply at all, to the foreigner. The same with Social Security contributions. Are foreigners required to make contributions to the Social Security system? And what about tax obligations? Are they required to report their income, which is foreign income, into the local tax regime? And some of the digital nomad visa regulations do address some of these employment, social security, and tax areas. Some others do not address this at all. And some other countries, even though they announced that they will have nomad visa and they had laws saying, we have a nomad visa, there is no specific procedure, there is no regulation as to how to actually apply and obtain a nomad visa.
I found that a lot as well, that in the last few years, lots of countries are coming out and trying to participate in this idea of digital nomads and attracting them to their country. So they pass the legislation, but then they don't yet have the procedure to actually apply for one. And it's unfortunate because I think a lot of people are excited about the idea of working remotely elsewhere and in a compliant way. But although if you Google it and it says that, you know, so-and-so country does have a digital nomad visa, there's actually, you know, no clear guidelines on what's required or how long they will have it for or how to even apply. It's an odd gap, and it's very much in flux.
And one of the interesting gaps that I've seen is in the application of employment laws. So generally, employment laws are territorial, meaning that if you are working in a country, the employment laws of that country would apply to you. When nomad visa regulations are issued and they address employment laws, these regulations would say, because you are working for a foreign employer, you are not subject to the employment laws of our country. You are subject to the employment laws of the offer letter employment agreement you subscribe with a foreign employer. And the issue that I've seen, which is very interesting, is that foreigners get to avail to those regulations, to the digital nomad visa. But what would happen if a national of that country were to start working for a foreign employer without interacting with the local market, the same as the foreigner who is working in the same country for the same foreign employer? So what I've seen is the foreigner gets to compliantly work for the foreign employer, whereas the national who could be working for the same foreign employer is subject to employment laws, is subject to social security contributions. So we're seeing a disparity here.
Yeah, it's a really interesting discrepancy, right? The legislation has contemplated this idea of a foreign employee working for a foreign employer, but it hasn't addressed, and the legalities associated with that, but it hasn't addressed the legalities of a national of that same country working for that same foreign employer. In that case, you've got employment obligations and tax obligations, and technically the foreign employer would need a branch or subsidiary to employ in that country. And I think what you're saying is that this digital nomad visa is a problem in that nationals can't apply for it, right?
Absolutely, because nationals already have the right to work in their home country. And problem is that digital nomad visas are thought and generally issued by immigration authorities. Living outside of their scope, other important topics and areas that greatly impact an individual working for a foreigner, such as employment laws and tax laws and social security obligations.
That's exactly right. I think that when the remote work thing became very popular and these countries hopped on the bandwagon of addressing the immigration piece, you know, the first issue we saw was that, well, lots of this legislation is not contemplating the corollary issues like employment and tax, et cetera. But then the countries that even went so far as to address those particular issues still haven't thought about or contemplated this other piece, which is it unfair to your nationals, right? Because maybe a foreign company doesn't have the resources or frankly interest in employing in that country. They're just trying to accommodate an employee's request to sightsee while they work. It has the impact of being unfair to locals.
Yes, absolutely. I'm hopeful that legislation is going to catch up, because it is undeniable that locals are working for foreign employers. And unfortunately, the solution that most foreign employers are finding to that legal gap is to engage these nationals as independent contractors.
Right, exactly. And in the hypothetical you posed, you could have a foreign employee on a digital nomad visa doing the exact same work as a local that can't get a digital nomad visa. And so they've been engaged as an independent contractor improperly, right? Because they're doing the exact same work as an employee. That's fascinating. And then, you know, this attempt to be very protective of locals, which most countries are, kind of has the reverse effect.
Yeah, it definitely has an unwanted effect, because you are leaving your nationals unprotected. You are keeping opportunities, which are great opportunities, from your nationals, and foreigners are the ones who are getting to enjoy the best of both worlds. They earn their money in US dollars and they go spend it in tropical, amazing places.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I have seen in some places, like Portugal, for example, there's been pushback on the digital nomad idea. But the motivation, from what I understand, was that it was attracting so many foreigners that it was driving up costs for locals. But this is actually an even a different issue that maybe I would think more important to locals, that they are missing out on these opportunities to potentially earn more working for a foreign company than they would locally.
Yes, absolutely. You're completely right. Digital nomad visas are not only an impact on the legal framework, but also on the socioeconomical realities of those communities that are attractive for foreigners because of the culture, the weather, and like honestly, how cheap it is to live there, earning in US dollars or euros.
Right, right. Yeah, it's too bad because there's a lot of upside that could be had from digital nomads, from this structure, but without addressing the locals that are left behind, it becomes inequitable, and even though that was not the intention, of course. So yeah, the independent contractor route really carries its own risks, even though a lot of foreign companies might think that that's an easy way to close the gap, but it's not compliant. So unless they're willing to register a branch or set up a local entity, they don't really have an option to employ there, but they, unless they entertain something like an employer of record, so a third party intermediary to serve as the employer of these individuals that they want to utilize in country.
Yeah, that also comes with its own risks. You know, in certain countries, there are limitations as to how long can you use an employer of record, for what type of employees you can use the employer of record. So those are considerations that foreign employers should take into account when engaging employees or workforce in other countries.
Right. Yeah. In many countries, the EOR model is highly regulated, if not prohibited. In the Philippines, for example, it's unlawful to do labor outsourcing in most cases, and which is really tricky to navigate because there is something very similar called a BPO, a business process outsourcing model, which is legal, but that's intended for something completely different, where you're outsourcing, for example, an entire call center or all of your accounting function. So it becomes tricky because even though a EOR option sounds like the obvious solution, in many countries, it actually may not be, or it may require additional considerations. One other consideration that comes up with the EOR model that may be overlooked is that it doesn't address the permanent establishment risk, right? So if you're a foreign company using talent in country, depending on what that talent is doing, regardless of who is their employer, you could inadvertently cause that company to create a permanent establishment and therefore have corporate tax liability in that country.
So I think that employers who want to leverage global workforce have some tools to consider when engaging employees in other countries. They just need to be aware of the limitations of those tools and how to properly utilize them. It's easy to find a lot of information online, and that information is presented as the best solution and alternative. But again, as we discussed, there are like some issues and gray areas in these solutions.
So true. It's not as easy as it may seem.
Thank you for joining us for today's Cross-Border Catch-Up. Follow us to stay in the know about cutting-edge employment issues worldwide.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on Apple Podcasts or through your favorite podcast service. Please consider rating and reviewing so that we may continue to provide the content that covers your needs. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.